In 1999, Richard Reed created the drinks brand Innocent with his two buddies from university. Years later, after growing Innocent into a global phenomenon worth hundreds of millions of dollars, the three friends set sail for a new venture, Jam Jar Investments, with the goal of backing the next generation of brilliant ideas. So how did Richard get to where he is today? This is Eureka, a Monocle 24. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. This week, Richard shares his story.
So, I met Adam and John, my co-founders, at university. We bonded over a shared love of nightlife and the absence thereof in Cambridge University. So to rectify the situation, we used to start organising our own club nights. Adam and I would DJ, John had a computer in his room, which back in the early 90s was a big deal, and we could design the flyers and posters on his computer. And we put on these club nights, and they were really successful, because no one else was playing house music in Cambridge in the early 90s. And it was so fun doing it. And we had a sense then that we're having more fun running the disco than the people at the disco. And that insight and the fact that we realised we were a good team together meant that we made a commitment that one day we would set up a business and go through life, build it as our little platform to go through life together. That was an idea or a commitment made, but then not acted upon for 7 years. We graduated, we went into different regular jobs, but the conversation never went away. We kept, every time we'd go on holiday, every weekend away, every night in the pub, we'd still have the same conversation about, wouldn't it be great to one day set up a business? The actual inception point for Innocent, for it being smoothies, the whole thing was inspired by a hangover. We were on a snowboarding weekend, feeling lousy on the Sunday morning after having sort of drunk too much on the Saturday night. And that gave us the insight that we need to make it easy for people to do themselves some good after they've done themselves some bad. That was us. And we recognised, well, that's what we need and our friends need it. And we came back from that snowboarding weekend thinking, we've got our idea. You see, the story of Innocent from the outside is this tremendous success story, which overall it is, and one that we're massively grateful for. But what people don't know is what was happening to the business in 2008. Up until then, we launched in 99 through to 2007. We did no wrong. The business got getting bigger. We were growing new countries, new products. It was going so, so well. In 2008, every bit of bad luck that we could have all happened simultaneously. The credit crunch struck and we lost a third of our sales overnight. I mean, it was putting the business in a terminal decline. We'd bought and contracted to buy £16 million worth of fruit we no longer needed because we weren't making the smoothies because people weren't buying them. Obviously, we're not responsible for the external events of the company, and they really did affect us. But fundamentally, on our shoulders is that we did not act quickly enough. We were too indoctrinated in a business that had always grown. Those first 9 months of 2008, where every month the forecast is getting worse, we'd be telling ourselves, well, it's not getting any worse from this point. So April we thought was the worst point, but then it was worse in May, then worse in June, worse in July. So our responsibility where we failed was to accept the new reality and act quickly. That's when I developed an even deeper appreciation for having people in the business that were more experienced than us. Because, you know, look, we were smart guys working hard and making some good decisions, but we just didn't have the experience. We are fortunate enough that we brought in previously a guy that was like 10 years senior to us and he built supply chains. And he was like, boys, I've got an idea. And he essentially, this is not an exaggeration, he saved the company. I'm glad that we didn't end the business in that context. That would have been really distressing. Fortunately, we managed to persuade people to keep us afloat while we went out and fundraised. Once we had fundraised and got the money by selling a small stake to Coca-Cola, then suddenly we're back in the game big time. We're now cash secured. We can pay off the debts. And the economy started coming back and we made our products more affordable. And as I said, the business actually got stronger and stronger and stronger. But as part of that deal that we did in 2008, Coke's view was, look, we'll happily invest in a small way now, but long term, we're going to want to be able to buy you guys out. And so we had this brilliant agreement that when they wanted to and when we wanted to, we could properly exit. And we left it another 5 years till 2013. And it was on our terms. And it felt right. We'd done it for 15 years to the day. I love that business. It set me up in life in an unimaginable way. But 15 years for me is enough is enough years of fruit juice. You know, I love fruit juice, but 15 years, sort of, I feel like I've ticked that box. And we still sit on the board and we're massively involved in the company and we still run the foundation because 10% of the profits go to the foundation. But that business has benefited from us stepping aside. And by the way, everyone had been made a shareholder, so everyone did well out of the deal. Not a single person lost their job when Coke bought the company. Not a single person came from Coke into the business to do a job. It was an entirely innocent takeover of innocent. We just promoted the guys that we'd been sat around the board table with and they got a promotion. The business has been rejuvenated. It's stronger now with us on the benches supporting than it was when we were running it. We signed the deal on a Friday and walked out, and we left actually, funny enough, Fruit Towers at the offices on the side of the Union Canal. So we got in a tiny little boat and put it off down the canal at 3 miles per hour into the setting sun. And we ended it how we started it. Three guys sat around a table in a bar having a drink. That's how we finished it. Then the Monday, we opened Jam Jar. So Jam Jar is our angel investing fund where we back UK startups that are essentially in the consumer branded space. And we're trying to do what we can to help those entrepreneurs make their boat go faster. And through injecting some cash and some time and resource and mentoring and network, you know, we're hoping to sort of pass on the business karma to the next generation. I'm clever enough to know I'm stupid without Adam and John. So, you know, anything I have achieved, I've achieved in a team, 100%. So, no, I mean, it's one of the great blessings in my life that the two smartest guys in the room happen to be my two best mates, but we have very, very different skill sets. Like, John is always been about the sort of the operations and the engineering and the sort of the IT and the sort of just the making things work side. Adam has always been the deal maker, the opportunity finder, getting out there and getting stuff done. And I've always been the brand guy that sort of developed the products and the packaging and the advertising and the shapes and the people. And so we massively fit together. As we always said, together the three of us make one good business person. So some of the big business lessons I've learned. The first one is that entrepreneurship is the ultimate equal opportunity employer. I've met so many people that have been successful in business, and wow, you cannot spot a pattern. There's everyone from the dyslexic kid that really struggles at school to the person that's an Oxbridge graduate. There's the person that comes from massively rich family backgrounds to the someone that really had nothing. Like, I met a fantastic entrepreneur that had been in prison twice for dealing E, but then on realized there was a better way, got some money from the Prince's Trust, and set himself up. He's now a multi-millionaire software guy. So it is there for you. You've just got to find within you the confidence. And I also think, bring in the confidence if you don't have it. Surround yourself by friends or family or mentors that will help you fake that confidence to get you started. Because the most important thing in business is get going. Don't wait for it to be perfect. Don't wait for yourself to feel confident. Just be clear-sighted. Have you come up with a product or a service that is going to make consumers' lives better? If you really have genuinely made something that's going to make someone's day better, remove a problem for them, and do it in a way that's better than the competition, you will find a way to be successful. If you're selling the same old generic nonsense and it's not really doing anyone anything, then don't expect to be successful. But if you really are in the business of creating little moments of joy in a consumer's average day, or moments of interest or moments of convenience, it will happen. And it's not about who you know, who you are, where you're from, or what you look like. It's like, are you focused on making your consumer's life better?
Richard Reed there, co-founder of Innocent Drinks and Jam Jar Investments. Eureka's back again next Friday, but before then, tune into The Entrepreneurs on Wednesday. This episode was edited by Toby Hammond, and I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Thanks for listening.